Welcome, friends, to another hour of Grace Hour. This has been an amazing week. We've been talking about the finished work of Christ, the work of Christ on Calvary, John 19:30, the finished work. So today, this daily program is going to dive into believers' daily challenges and help us to grow in a practical way about the finished work. My name is Pastor Ronaldo, and I'm in the studio with Pastor Shabelli. And today we're going to continue to talk about the finished work, and specifically the different types of results that are beneficial in my life, because living from the cross, because the gospel brought us to the cross, but living from the cross, the work, the results of the work on the cross. Thank you for joining us. You can reach out to us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. We'd love to hear from you, your questions, your comments, your inquiries. A lot of people don't understand the finished work. We're on Apple, like I said, iHeartRadio, Audible, Stitcher, gracehour.org, YouTube, and of course, Facebook Live. You can also email questions at questions@gracehour.org, or you can call us. We'd love to hear from you. The last day of the week, get your comments in at 1-800-338-7060 or locally at 410-483-3700. We look forward to hearing from you in this program. This is a great time to talk about and listen and ask questions about the work of the cross. What does that mean? It's more than just a slogan. A lot of things are operational in your life because of the work that was done on the cross. So we'll begin, as we always do, with the Bible. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 5. Likewise, the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, and yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom ye resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein you stand.
Sometimes people have said, when it comes to the finished work, that the finished work and grace are twins, but I say they're one. Mm. They're in other words, finished work actually would reflect about the grace of God.
Yes.
Grace of God, actually, for many people today, I've heard this so many times, and it's kind of troubled me a bit sometimes. Not really troubled me, but grace is just God's unmerited favor.
Mm-hmm.
But grace is God's fullness and his glory. That's John 1:14-18.
Mm-hmm.
His fullness and his glory. Glory is the word doxa, who he is and what he's done.
Mm.
So finished work and grace, really, it's one and the same. If you look at Acts chapter 15, you'll see that they came to the Council of Jerusalem, and they all agreed, Peter, James, John, Barnabas, Silas, and the rest of them, all the church leaders, and they agreed on grace and the finished work.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 15, 9, 10, and 11, and on. And this was really so key, and something that the enemy is going to attack greatly.
Mm-hmm.
In these last days, or at any time, actually, is grace and the finished work, because it is the person of Christ and the work that he has done.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's all that counts. So many people are into works. So many people are into people outside of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have Christ, but they somehow can elevate people above the person of Christ himself. So grace and the finished work. First Peter speaks a lot about that. It's great that Peter's talking about grace, because he really got an understanding of that through the illumination of the Holy Spirit from Acts onward and going. So this is really very important. Even to think about the finished work, the tense that it's used in, and by the way, tenses are important.
Mm-hmm.
Like, watch this.
Okay.
I ate, uh-huh. I'm eating, I will eat.
Okay.
Okay, it's three different meanings there. I ate, I don't need to eat again, I hope. I'm eating, don't bother me while I'm eating. I'm going to eat, I'm hungry.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's still, it's a tense, tense really defines it.
Okay.
So perfect indicative passive. When it says it is finished, it's in, and I'm not trying to get too like academic with you, but when it says it is finished, it's in the perfect indicative passive. What does that mean? Perfect. It's eternal. The finished work is eternal. Indicative. It's absolute truth. Passive. That's grace. Subject receives the action of what has taken place.
Right.
Really, this is such a key truth for us to consider in the scriptures, the finished work. Because the enemy, I read this morning, and I was thinking this morning about how that Joseph's brothers hated him.
Mm-hmm.
He was given a coat of many colors, and he was made, and the coat represented something, just something to keep you warm, or protect you. The coat represented kingly and priestly office. That the one who would get the coat would be the king and the priest of the family. And so when he gave it to the younger, when Jacob gave it to Joseph, everybody was envious. It says how many times they hated him, and they hated him more, and they hated him the more. I think four times they envied him, and they were evil towards him. And really, this is what the enemy hates. He hates grace and the finished work. And he will do everything he can to keep people from coming to a place of grace and the finished work. Number one, keep them from getting saved.
Sure.
Number two, if they are saved, keep them from growing in grace and the finished work. This is the enemy's tactic, the enemy's strategy. And a lot of Christians do not recognize that. That's why you have movements today that preach you can lose the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Absolutely demonic and ridiculous.
Mm.
Foolish. That's foolishness. That doctrine. And if that's something that you've heard and you've agreed with, I'm not trying to like condemn anybody or accuse anybody, but it's time to come out of that and understand that what God has done, he's done forever.
Yes.
He's done it forever. It's an eternal work. Even the great verse that we hear quoted so often, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but have to hold everlasting life, eternal life. And people use that verse all the time, and then they'll say, you can lose God if you fail.
Sure.
I said, for what sin? I had conversations with pastors that believe that. I say, so what sin do you lose the Holy Spirit for? They said, the big ones. I said, oh, so there's a difference between the big ones and the small ones. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, is Israel God's covenant people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Promises and the covenant. Yes. I said, did Israel sin?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They denied the Holy One in Acts chapter 2 and 3.
Yes.
And they killed the Prince of Life. I said, what could be a worse sin than killing God? Okay, then so here's my next question. Did God remove his covenant promises from them because they killed his son?
No, they did not.
He did not. So eternal security based upon grace and the finished work. This is not a security that would cause us to say we can live like hell and do what we want. See, some people make that accusation too. Oh, you people that believe in eternal security, that means a person can go out and do whatever they want. No, God disciplines. Have you ever read Hebrews 12?
Yes.
He disciplines. Those whom he loves, he disciplines them.
Mm-hmm.
He has a way of disciplining each and every one of us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So how important it is for us to understand grace. Tonight we're going to have a class and you're all invited. And the class will be all about grace and glory.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say something? And I'm going to say it because I have the microphone here. I said very simply this. If a ministry is not based on the grace of God and the finished work, the nature and character of God and what he's done, that ministry is not from God.
Mm.
It is not from God. I'm sorry. If it's not grace, Paul said in Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another.
Hmm.
But there's be some of you who pervert and you trouble and pervert the gospel. You know, there's nothing worse than a gospel pervert. No, really. Some people think about the other thing is very bad and evil. But he said, you pervert the gospel. Though we or a messenger angel from heaven preach unto you any other gospel other than what you have received, let him be anathema.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're going to hell. It means whatever they do is devoted to destruction, to be burned up.
Have you noticed for a second, and I want to go back a little bit, you said about grace giving the gift of security.
Mm-hmm.
But the real challenge oftentimes you talk to people is the guarantee of security. And that is much more of the finished work. Like I find my guarantee, because many believers don't understand the character of God.
Right.
And because they don't understand the character of God, they don't trust the work of God.
How about this kind of arrogance? My works are more important than his blood. Ooh, My works mm-hmm. are more important than his blood. The finished work mm-hmm. is God
yes.
shedding his blood.
Right.
Perfect, pure, precious blood. And that's not enough to save you. So your works are more important than the work he did. I see.
Let me say that a different way. My works is what I provide.
Yeah.
God's work is what he provides, which taps into 95 things that God provides at the mm-hmm. point of salvation because yeah. of the work of Christ. Things like he foreknew us. In Romans 8:29, he chose us mm-hmm. in 1 Peter 2:4. He's redeemed us in Colossians 1:14. I think when you don't know what the work of God has accomplished in your life, you are driven to perform a work in your life. That's sure. why when Dr. Stevens put this list together of 95 things that happen at the point of salvation, John 1:12, I think many believers don't even know what that means. Interesting story. Jabulani Zwane, pastor in South Africa. Mm-hmm. I met him soul winning at the University of Pretoria in 2000. I want to say 2000. He was sitting there on a bench, and I was doing a Bible study in Pretoria, the University of Pretoria. And I happened to have this very list, the 95 things that happened at the point of salvation. I didn't give him a track. I gave him the 95 things that happened at the point of salvation. He took that home, learned it, studied it. And he eventually joined our church, became a pastor, mm-hmm. and is still serving God today. But it was the list of the 95 things that happened at the point of salvation that changed his life.
And you know what? That's not taught anywhere.
No.
People do not teach that.
You can't even Google that.
And
you literally can't.
Yeah, the benefits of salvation. I was thinking about the benefits and the blessings of
yes.
what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
And so what ends up happening is because people don't know that, now they put the emphasis on man.
Yeah.
And what man... who he is and what he can do.
The works.
And it's all, it's works. Mm-hmm. And then we know in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, mm-hmm. it's not by works.
That's right.
It's by grace we are saved. And this is so important. Grace is God's nature and character. The finished work is what he did at the cross.
Yes.
And who, so you're going to do more than that? So your person is greater than the person of Christ and your work is greater than the work of Christ? Is that what you, is, that's actually what's really being said by people.
Yes.
They may not, you say that to them, they'll say, oh, no, no, no. No, they may not understand that, but when they say that it is not the person of Christ and not the work of the cross, they are saying something else.
Mm.
There's got to be a result to that. What is the opposite of that?
Yeah.
Because the person and their work. A person and their work. And by the way, who is the perpetrator of that? Satan.
Wow.
See, Satan is very angry
mm-hmm.
that God would save man mm-hmm. and kick him out of heaven. See, you have a place in heaven that the devil can never get. He can never come back again. It's over.
Mm.
He's not a man. He's an angel. Okay? Mm. And so we were he was removed from heaven. We are seated together in heavenly places,
yes.
and we can never be removed.
Like
we
that.
Might be disciplined. We might fail in our experience. We might go the wrong way. But we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. It is finished.
Yeah.
And that's because of the nature and character of God, the grace of God,
yes.
and the finished work. They're not twins, they're one.
Yeah.
They're one and the same.
You could actually say that the character of God motivated the work of God,
yes.
so they're connected.
Yeah.
But I like the way those 95 things were divided. There's where I've been placed,
mm-hmm.
like positional truth, what I've been made, and what I can experience.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know those things, to piggyback on what you said, you take your place,
mm-hmm.
you take your position. But if you don't know your position, you don't take a position, you make a position.
Positional truth is something that is so lacking
yes.
today in Christianity.
It's true.
And everything is based upon your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Positional
mm-hmm.
truth.
Mm-hmm.
Without understanding positional truth, you will begin to think. See, the devil says your experience is your position. That's
yes.
his attack. Your experience is your position. No, mm-hmm. no, no. My position is in Christ, and my experience might be related to my position sometimes, but there'll be times when I'm weak and I
mm-hmm.
fail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
but I am not my experience.
Mm-hmm.
I am my position.
Mm-hmm.
In Christ. And you can see that Jacob,
mm-hmm.
well, I've always called you Israel.
Yeah.
Okay, one who has power with God.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob means trickster, supplanter, liar, deceiver. Okay, I'm calling you Israel. You have power with God and authority with God. And this is who he's made us to be. This is what has been done by God for us.
Mm.
And when you don't, when we don't have, the, if churches don't preach that, then they are propagating something that's another gospel. And it, actually in Galatians 1, 6 through 10, when the word another is used, it means another of a different quality.
Yes.
Not quantity, quality. Mm. The quality is not the essence of God, not the nature of God, and not the work of God. It's another gospel. And we've been around long enough, especially in Africa, to see a lot of situations where it's another gospel. Mm. Or think about it. Is it grace plus Sabbath keeping?
No.
No. Is it grace plus tongues? No. No. Is it grace plus human works? No. Is it grace plus giving money, financial? You're not saved unless you're really on top of this world financially. Mm-hmm. It's no. Is it grace plus keeping the commandments? No.
No.
It's grace and the finished work. And it's absolutely free. We're absolutely free.
I kind of like the word you use there for quality. Because when I don't understand what was accomplished on the cross for me and what it provides for me, it will hinder the quality of my walk with God. Mm-hmm. And many believers don't have a quality about their walk with God. So they try to improve their walk with God through works.
Yes.
But when you understand the finished work, you understand that your sins have been forgiven. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, there's 31 things the believer has in Christ that are part of this list of 95 things, and they're all in the past tense. They're a position that you've taken, not you're going to have to take it. God has placed you, God has made you, and God has given you these things that you have. He gives grace, He gives power, He gives peace, He gives hope, He gives rest, He gives joy. He gives consolation. He gives comfort. Mm-hmm. He gives us friendship. These are all the results of what was accomplished on the cross, the finished work. The finished work is not just, and this is interesting, Pastor, that people say the finished work is just Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for my sins. That is, that nullifies and minimizes so much of what God has done on your behalf. Because if that's all you think the work on the cross is, you're going to try to go out and accomplish everything else that God has already given you. You make the mistake of Jacob. You want to try to perform what God has already promised to perform and has performed. We'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear this afternoon, if you could. We'd love to hear from folks who the finished work, the results of the cross has changed, challenged, and benefited your life. Because many folks in Christendom have no idea about what happened in the finished work. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 410-483-3700 locally or internationally at 1-800-338-7063. We could also take some questions via email if you want to reach out to us. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube, and Facebook. I think we have some comments. Let me pull up some comments here from folks that have been listening to us already.
Are they pulling up?
They're pulling up. Okay. Beautiful. Elizabeth says, the finished work cannot be changed. Man's arrogance thinks he has to do something to change this. Unbelief is an enemy of the cross. That's a beautiful statement. Yes. So the guarantee of the 95 things we get at the point of salvation cannot change. I like that Lori also says, Lori Barnes says, they're not twins, they're one, so good. Marion says, great message. Pastor Jonathan Perkins says, good morning from Las Vegas. The work is finished in the desert in Nevada. Ruth Perez says, hearing, learning, and praying. Aretta Carter says, hallelujah, what a Savior who loves us and gave himself for us. It is finished. Nesta Herrera says, thankful for you guys. Madeline Johnson says, thank you for sharing this important truth, pastors. We are so grateful for your lives and everyone who works on the Grace Hour. Thank you, Madeline. Madeline Johnson also says, hallelujah. Pastor Jonathan Perkins, stop sending emails and pick up the phone.
He says,
awesome thoughts. Thanks about the finished work mindset. There's no way you would survive in the desert without living in the results of the finished work.
You know what's interesting? When I was in Africa, there was so much opposition
to this message,
to the message of grace and the finished work. Hmm. And they were actually even getting to a place where they would call you evil and say it wasn't the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because the emphasis is on them, what they do, who they are and what they do. And that is arrogance.
Yeah.
That's real arrogance, you know. And so when you came with a message saying it's the person of Christ and the work of the cross, that X's out them. It X's them out in a way that it's not you who are the reason for salvation.
Mm.
It is Jesus Christ and the work of the cross. And then, wait a minute, but where does that leave me and all of that?
You know?
No, you can reap the benefits of and the blessings of grace and the finished work.
Yes.
And you can go forward, and then this will be something that by mixing faith with, you experience this in time. And other than that, what happens to a person? They say, I made a mistake,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm lost, and then they keep going in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, didn't you like Luke 15, just the example, it's an illustrative example. This my son was lost.
Yes.
He didn't say this a stranger was lost. Mm-hmm. He said, this my son was lost, but mm-hmm. now he's found. So he was not experiencing the Father's love.
Yes.
But he was still a son of the Father.
Beautiful.
And there can be times in our lives when we do not experience God.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that we're not a son. Your son can travel overseas. He goes from America to China and whatnot. He's still your son.
That's right.
He can't travel away from that.
No.
There's no getting on a bus, an airplane, or a train and getting away from the fact that you are a son of yep. the living God.
Be a son on a bus.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just on a bus or you're in another place. But yep. genetically, mm-hmm. you belong to your father and your family. Well, when we're saved, we have new genetics.
Yes.
We are regened, as Dr. Stevens used to say.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have the person of the Holy Spirit living in us. God has made us a new person. Old things are passed away.
Yes.
And this is so important. So the devil wants you to live experientially in the old man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and because you don't understand truth.
Yeah.
And when truth has fallen in the street, equity cannot enter.
Mm.
And so now we just have people that are going around and they're like looking over their backs all the time.
Sure.
Because they think that if they do something, sin, that they're it's over. Well, that's my Christianity.
Well, that's next level thinking. God has not just positioned me because of the work of the cross, the finished work. He's also changed my experience.
Yes.
When I am influenced and I'm involved in the results of what happened at the cross, those 95 things, they changed the way I live my life. They changed how I view sin. They changed mm-hmm. how I view mm-hmm. relationship. They changed. They give me rest because of the work of God. And this is a question that Noel is asking us from India. Can you speak more about the rest in the finished work?
Well, he bowed his head and gave up the spirit.
There it is.
See, he bowed his head first, the rest, and then mm-hmm. he gave up the spirit.
Mm.
So rest, the word is anapasis,
mm-hmm.
and it means resting in activity.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am resting in who God is, that's his grace,
mm-hmm.
his person, and what he has done, I'm resting in the person of God and the work of God,
mm-hmm.
and that's truly a rest. That's a rest that's different than just being tired and resting or just resting in a way that I'm not actively involved in the church or the ministry or in my life at all as a Christian. That's a false rest. But come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you. How about that word give?
Mm-hmm.
I give rest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He gives it because he gives us his grace and his finished work. I will give you rest. Take my yoke. My yoke was I'm the person of God and my yoke going to the cross. Take my yoke and learn of me.
Mm.
And you shall find rest for your soul, all five parts of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
For my yoke is easy
mm-hmm.
and my burden light. You know, I meet sometimes Christians and their burdens are so heavy. The yoke is so, you know what? I realize who they're fellowshipping with.
Yes.
Not God.
I like what you said there. You're not equating rest with inactivity because
yeah.
that's what the world does. It's not a connection. It's not a connection with inactivity, but it's invigorating. We've got some calls, Pastor. Let's take some calls.
Uh-huh.
Let's try Lauren Markell in New York.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon. How are y'all?
Doing great, sir. How are you?
Not bad. I just want to comment on something that I heard Pastor Schaller and Pastor Love say yesterday about that people try to improve themselves and think they're going to be more accepted to God if they improve. And I couldn't help but think about that story where Jesus is sitting down with the publicans and the sinners, and the Pharisees are giving him the third degree for doing that.
Yes,
and I can see almost, I guess you can say a bit of a humor in that story. Like, I mean, Jesus could have, he didn't say it, but he could have just as easily said, "Well, gents, what else? If I'm going to sit down and eat with folks, who else am I going to sit down with but sinners?"
Exactly. I like that point, Lauren. Every meal is a meal with sinners.
You know, Pastor Ronaldo, Pastor Brown, I haven't heard much of you lately. Have you been overseas or something?
Lauren, I have been. I was in West Africa, fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters there, Lauren. It's been a good time. I'm glad to be back. it's great to hear your voice, but I'm gonna cut the call a little short because they got a bunch of phone calls. I want to get them all in. I don't want to cheat anybody, but it's great to hear your voice. God Amen. Bless you. Pastor Duke.
Duke Horton. Pastor Duke Horton.
You're on the Grace Hour, Pastor.
Hi, Pastor Schiavelli. You guys are amazing. This week has just been phenomenal. Hey, I called because you asked us to call in and share when we first heard the message of the finished work and grace. And it was, for me, it was in May of 1984. I heard telephone time with Dr. Stevens
mm-hmm.
on shortwave radio in Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow.
And,
losing.
That's amazing, Pastor Duke.
We're losing people. 1984 in Tennessee, huh?
In Tennessee in 1984, Pastor Duke, we lost you.
Amen, I'm here.
Okay, that's amazing. You know, Pastor Duke, what's amazing? It's amazing that you're still walking in the results of the finished work today. Those 95 things that happen at the point of salvation are an active part of your mindset and your memory and your meditation even today in 2023. That's amazing.
Amen. And I definitely give God all the glory, and being around men like you, Proverbs 13:20 says, if you want wisdom, be with those who have wisdom, and you guys definitely exude and reveal the wisdom of God. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Thanks for calling.
Hudson Taylor said this before we go to the next call. He said this, and I'm talking about like 100 years.
Yes.
A long time ago. Okay. Bear not a single care thyself, for one is too much for thee. The work is mine and mine alone. Your work is to rest in me.
There it is.
When he got a revelation, illumination, I should say, of the finished work, it changed Hudson Taylor's life mm-hmm. and his ministry.
Wow.
His life and his ministry. He was striving.
Mm-hmm.
His works and striving and whatnot. And then he took that message to China. And he was criticized so much.
Mm.
He grew a long braid down to his waist. He dressed in Chinese garb, and boy, did they get all over him.
Wow.
Those fundamentalists, you know, they got all over him. But he was just resting in God. And this is key.
That's
resting in his love in Zephaniah 3:17.
That's a good
resting
word.
Resting in God.
Mm.
And really, this is so important, because mm-hmm. if I'm not resting in God, then I'm just operating in self. And you get worn out.
Yeah.
Why is it that people get worn out anyway?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just, you know what? What's the term that they use?
Burnout.
Burnout.
Yep.
You got burned out, really? That's interesting. I didn't know that God could get burnt out. So your flesh got burnt out,
mm-hmm.
but God never gets burnt out, you
yep.
know, and whatnot. I can't take this anymore. I can't go on with this anymore. I've been doing this for 15, 20 years, you know, and I'm going to go retire on some island and watch the waves come in.
There it is.
No, I'd rather have liquid waves of love come in.
Shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm sure some people play that and it can be spiritual and you could evangelize
yes.
with that, you know. But
I can't imagine you playing shuffleboard. No,
That would be an interesting thing.
And we'll take our next call on that note. Mr. Mitchell from Maryland. How are you, sir? You're on the Grace Hour.
Hello.
Why can't we hear them?
Welcome.
Welcome. How y'all doing?
Doing great, sir.
Okay. I don't know if y'all are able to hear me.
We can hear you. Keep going.
Okay. No, I'm just enjoying this topic y'all have today about the finished work and to see it lived out in people's lives, and y'all speaking it, because it's not y'all finished work. God did it.
Yep.
And which is so great. It's not, you know, we put different people on pedestals
mm-hmm.
and that's not what God wants us to do. And I had the pleasure of going across seas in West Africa, and
mm-hmm.
the pastors, Pastor John, Pastor Mortley,
mm-hmm.
Pastor Ben, Pastor Alfred, all these men of God that's been in the ministry for a while, and seeing that they're still speaking the finished work.
Amen.
And they're still communicating that. And it's so dear. And to see how they love you, Pastor Schiavelli, and how that they're continuing.
Mm-hmm.
We look at maybe young people and see them ripping and running, but to see the finished work timeless, the finished work just continue to go on despite somebody's physical abilities is just amazing, and it just encourages me so much.
Amen. That's
resting
beautiful.
In the finished work.
I love that. Resting in what God is doing gives me capacity to do great things with God, to be honest. That's a great portion. Oh, my. Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you.
God bless you.
What are all those?
We just read those.
All of them?
Yeah, most of them, except for one. Susan from Boston, you're on the Grace Hour.
Woo! Is that Susan Pendergrass?
Yeah, pardon me?
Hi, hello? Susan. Welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hi, Pastor Ronaldo. Hi, Pastor Shigali.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
It's great to hear you guys on Grace Hour today, and this week has been life-transforming.
Wow.
You know, we never know. We don't know anything until we hear it again and again and again, and God opens our hearts and our souls to a new thing that we didn't even know could be new, anything that we never had the thought before or the revelation before. And that's what this week has been with the finished work. And I just remember the first time I ever heard Pastor Stephen speak was at the Charlotte Dunning School on a Tuesday night. 50 years ago.
Wow.
How long?
50.
50.
Wow. 50 years ago. Wow.
Yeah, I was 2 when my mother brought me.
Wow.
And I just was thinking as you were speaking how I was just broken, how all of a sudden I just pictured myself just sitting somewhere, just sitting with my legs crossed, sitting, and all of a sudden God picked me up, saved my soul, and placed me in this ministry.
That's it.
Just that was it. But I never even thought of that. I mean, it was like so freeing. Mm. It had nothing to do with me, even though, you know, all these years you say it has nothing to do with me. But it was like it hit me. Mm. And I just broke because it's such an amazing thing. Yes. This ministry is such an amazing ministry that was raised up by God, a finished work ministry. Yeah. Based in his finished work, you know, and I just can't thank you enough. Thank you always for being there for us.
Amen,
teaching
Susan.
Us and loving us.
I heard the message for the first time in 1976.
That's 46 years ago.
It's all 46, 47.
We're
right?
all in the same ballpark.
Yeah. And it was, and it was shocking to me. I actually pulled my car over on Sumner Avenue in Springfield, Massachusetts, and just couldn't drive. I had to listen to what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then I remember the first time I heard Dr. Stevens preach in person. He preached from Psalm 16, verses 8 to 11. And it was amazing. And it was just a man of God who understood the thoughts of God, the word of God. But it's all God. These are God's thoughts, God's words, God's promises. God did the work.
Yes.
The person of Christ and the work of Christ. And so we just receive it.
That's it.
We are just receivers of who he is and what he has done.
Amen.
And the enemy is always trying to keep people from just simply being receivers, from the gospel going forward and really putting things and adding things to the gospel. This is very serious too, because we see this all over the world, messages where they add to grace, they add to the finished work. And really, this is the work of the enemy. This is an enemy's work. This is not man. This is the work of the enemy, who is a deceiver and a liar and an accuser of the brethren.
Wow.
And so it's continually taking place, and we have to realize that this is coming forth from a defeated enemy.
Yeah,
he's been defeated, you know. At the cross, he was defeated. And yet people give an ear to it because it promotes man.
But they
that's
might,
the problem.
They might give an ear to it because they're not taught. Like it says, what it says, you grow in 2 Peter 3:18. You grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of who he is and the knowledge of what he's done. But let me ask you a question, Pastor Belly. In this list of 95, are there a few that always come to your mind often? That are position that are things that happen at points like a few.
I think one of the key ones for me has always been I'm accepted in the beloved.
Yeah, Ephesians 1:6. Yes,
and I'm complete in him.
Colossians 2:10.
I have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Ephesians 1:3.
All of them are so vitally important. There are some that I think when you meet people and they believe they can lose God, they get saved. And they can lose God. And then you meet people that are not saved because they don't understand the benefits, and the blessings of salvation, what God gives them. They think it's what they have to do, what they will produce, what's going to happen through them. And that alone, And we'll pass that out tonight in class.
Yeah, and by the way, if you want a copy of the 95 things that happen, that God provides for the believer, the point of salvation, we will help you. We'll send you a copy. We'll figure it out. We'll email you a soft copy, whatever. Just email us at gracehour.org. Email us and ask for that, and we will get that to you. We will get that to you because you cannot, as far as that, last time I checked, you cannot Google and get this list. I didn't see it. Unless you Google it and it leads you to a Greater Grace website, you can't get there. But questions@gracehour.org, send it to us. We'd love to send it out to you. This is something that you'll walk through the rest of your life. You understand you're accepted, you're called, you're chosen. You've been delivered from the law. You are dead to the law. You're in Christ. You're in God. You're sealed by the Spirit. You're indwelt by the Spirit. You're baptized with the Spirit. You're born with the Spirit. You've been quickened. Mm-hmm. You've been perfected forever. You've been buried with Christ. Christ is your foundation. He is your life. He is your head. He is the captain of salvation. He is your friend. He is the bread of life. All of these things you have access to, you've been positioned into, and you can experience as a result of the work of Christ on the cross.
How about studying 95 days, one a day, and spending an hour just looking at one of these a day?
That's a good
for
talk.
95 days. And then when you're done, start again. And do that for a whole year. That means four times you hit it.
Yes.
You know, and maybe you'll spend less time on it or whatnot, but it's really important because these things need to sink down.
Yes.
See, what happens a lot of times is something comes and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
We don't meditate upon it. We don't receive it. Mm-hmm. We don't think it through and making decisions based upon those truths. Jesus said, in Luke 9, let these sayings sink down into your ears and conceive something.
Wow.
Conception, that these truths would conceive something, not just be on the paper, but that they would conceive something in us. And boy, not only does this give us fuel to defeat the enemy whenever we're attacked, but it gives us such security in who God has made us to be.
Yes.
And we begin to understand who God really is.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, you know, you can hear people, some people say, and they are saved. Yeah, I'm saved by Jesus Christ. And but did you even know who he is? I mean,
yes.
You know certain aspects about him. God is love, maybe.
Yes.
But not. But like getting to know God, this is so key. Paul said after 30 years as an apostle in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. And he was talking with a purpose progressive clause. It's my purpose to progressively get to know him.
Beautiful.
For the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like some people think like they've been saved 10, 15, 20 years. Thank God for that. But is that the end of it? I want to know God today.
Mm.
I want to get to know God today, every single day, because it's a day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and he's made it so we can get to know him.
I like that personal devotional. When I was in Bible school, I did that for a small season. I used to take a flashcard, and I'd write down one of the 95 things, and I would read it, I'd pray about it, and I'd keep it in my pocket, and throughout the day, I would take it out, I would look at it, and I'd put it back. And it got me very, very intimate with the work of Christ, the finished work.
You know what's the interesting thing today
in
Christianity? People spend more time reading Christian books than they do the Bible.
Wow.
And this is the Bible. 95 things are Bible verses.
Yes.
I am so angry at the enemy who gets people to read things other than the Bible.
Yeah.
And some of them are good books. I'm not talking about something evil.
But they're secondary sources.
They're secondary sources. But this is the only inspired word of God. This is the inspired word of God. It's eternal.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus called himself the Word, would you think it's important to learn the Word?
Yeah.
I would say so.
Yes,
and this is the great distraction that the enemy has used, taking the world system and all kinds of activities to keep people from studying the scriptures. That's why I'm glad that in certain parts of the world, there are no books. There's the Bible. No, there's the Bible. You know, I'm serious. That sounds like, wow, you shouldn't say that. You know what? I'm serious. They know the Bible. If you go to Africa, you're going to find people, they don't have all these options.
Yes.
And whatnot. They have to study the Bible.
Yep.
They read the Bible. I never found a book in the 80s in West Africa. It was the Bible. That was what people had. It was the Word of God.
Yes.
And not saying, please don't take me wrong. There are great books out there, even written by our own ministry.
Sure.
But they can never take the place of the inspired Word of God. And when people don't know the Bible, they go to Christian school, all they're taught is like illustrative literature and things like that, Christian writings and all that. But learn the Bible. I want a fourth grader to know the Bible. I want to, you know, learn the Word of God. There's people that, you know, I would ask somebody a question. Somebody told me they were a pastor. And I said, like, can you show me in the Bible, do you know where it says this and this? No idea.
Yeah.
Really key verses. It's like, give me a verse on salvation.
Yep.
Can't remember right now, you know. You know what? You don't know the Word of God. And this is a satanic tool. Mm-hmm. Keep people blind. He blinds their minds, least they would, believe the glorious gospel.
Yeah.
Mind blinders. Yeah. And this is really a sad thing as we get more so-called sophisticated in Christianity. Yeah. We leave the eternal landmarks.
Wow.
Bad move.
But the thing is, outside of the Bible, how will you have a clear picture of what happened to you when you became a Christian?
Yeah, you won't.
And this is the Bible-less generation. It really is a Bible-less generation. This generation wasn't raised in Scripture. You know, they weren't raised in it. They weren't. So when you take people back to the Bible, it's a foreign place.
How about this? When the Bible says evil, here's a Bible verse. Evil waxes worse and worse.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 3:13.
Yep.
The night is far spent. Romans 12, 1-3. I mean, come on. It's like it's getting. So I need the Word more.
Yeah.
I need the inspired Word of God more to direct my life. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. So if you don't have the Word and the Word's not important to you, well, where's your lamp and where's your light?
Yes.
And which path are you taking now? You can't believe where Christianity is going when it becomes something that is void of the Scriptures.
Wow.
Oh, born again, but living in heresy.
Yeah, it's like you if you don't have the Bible, you don't have the place where the Word of God and the will of God and the Word of God merge. They merge in the Word in the Bible, and and a lot of folks are Bible-less, so their Christianity has no quality to it. It's a lot of random thoughts about what happened on the cross that you heard secondhand, but you didn't get from the Bible.
Well, look at people. Look at some of the things that they do in life, and they'll do them because everybody does them. But they're totally against the Scriptures.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, homosexuality is against the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Drinking alcohol against the Scriptures.
Yep.
Using drugs against the Scriptures. Divorce against the Scriptures. I mean, really, think about it. There's so many things that are taking place in society that are clearly seen to be not the way of God in the Scriptures.
Yeah.
But they don't know the Scriptures. They don't even know how to raise their own children. People don't know how to raise their own children.
Well, Scriptures give you boundaries and motivation and even gives you wisdom and direction about that.
Yeah.
But I, again, if anyone is interested in the 95 things that happen at the point of salvation, email us at questions@gracehour.org. Questions@gracehour.org.
Mm-hmm.
Put your request there and we'll find a way to get you the soft copy of it some way. I do know that... there may be copies, and I don't know for sure, but there may be. We actually had that in a booklet form in our church.
Yes.
I'm wondering if we have any copies left. Ask, and I'll investigate and find out. But if I can't get you the booklet, I will get you the soft copy. This is something you will study the rest of your life.
Yes.
It's the 95 things are not principles. They're literal Bible verses. It's 95 things in the Bible that God provides for the believer at the point of salvation. And it will help you in your thinking about who you are. First of all, help you thinking about who God is. Second of all, who you are based on what God did. And then it will define your world based upon what God at the cross and the opportunity you have to know God. It's a phenomenal study. I like what Pastor Blake said about this. Daily taking one simple provision. Daily, just take one and just chew it, meditate on it. And you say, well, Pastor Ronaldo, I can't meditate. Let me ask you a question. Can you worry? If you can worry, you can meditate.
Yeah.
Just worry is just meditating on the wrong thing. But all of us are built to, all of us worry. So don't tell me you can't meditate on Scripture. When you can, you've been worrying, you've been meditating on the wrong thing. So switch the meditation. Turn your worry in 1 Peter 5:7 into meditation in Psalm 1:2. But I love what he said. That's a great little snatch you can take from the Grace Hour. Okay, God, I've got this 95 things that God provides for the believer at the point of salvation. Let me take one every day. Just one, and then all brief. They're like short, like he was quick. We're quickened in Ephesians 2:1. We're regenerated in Titus 3:5. They're little brief ones, and you can chew them and think about it. The Navigators have this beautiful statement about meditation. Reading the Bible and not meditating on it is like eating and not chewing.
You choke.
Well, you don't taste what you got.
Yes. Miss it.
We'd love to hear from you more about that. Please email us again at gracehoward.org. We'll help you as best we can to get those 95 things. And feel free to share that with people. That is not a common resource in Christendom. The 95 things that happen to point is not a common resource, but it will help so many people. There are pastors in this church because they study those 95 things.
Steal, kill, and destroy.
That's it.
The enemy's objective is to steal the 95 things, steal the word.
Wow.
Kill off. If you steal the word, you kill the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And then you destroy rewards.
Mm.
There's no fruit, no rewards. So the enemy has an objective to steal the word. Okay. Comes as a thief to steal the word.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to illuminate the Bible and help us to mix faith with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That's his ministry.
Yes.
And then destroy, steal, kill, destroy. So that's his major objective.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not stealing this book.
Amen.
You're not stealing this book. And by the way, how does he try to do it? He tries to do it by even getting us involved with Christian activity.
Sure.
Without the Bible, without the scriptures.
Isn't there so much like that? There's so much in Christendom that is Bible-less.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining us today. This has been a great topic, a great week on the finished work. An amazing, amazing theme this week. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure next week to join us. Don't miss next week. We're talking about marriage on the Grace Hour next week. We'll see you then. God bless.